Brother David did send me part of his sermon notes, but I told Madonna, I said, I hate to use his sermon because he might want to preach it next Sunday. But I'm definitely not going to preach it the way he would preach it or share it, whatever you want to call it. But you know, we are living in, some say, hard times. Yeah, if you want to. Children's church. Yes, follow your leader. You just didn't want to listen to me, did you? You already heard me for an hour. As I was saying, some people call this hard times, and it is hard times. But sometimes it becomes almost impossible, doesn't it? I mean, well, we've been in this thing now about 8 months, hadn't we? And we're still not used to it. And I think it's getting worse. I hate to say that, but I think every one of you know that. Still we can be thankful, can't we? I mean, God is teaching us a lesson. We may not learn it, but he is teaching us a lesson. And who among us can say that this time hasn't brought you closer to the Lord? Now, maybe that's the lesson he's trying to teach us. He's trying to draw us to him. Because let's face it, we are living in the last days. I'd like to think it's going to get better. And we can say that. But it's not. We're going to battle from here out. It's going to be a battle one way or the other. You know, for us who are in our golden years, I never looked at it that way. Did you, John? I don't think this is... This is golden years. I know Sharon doesn't either, but, you know, that's what they call it. But it's will be remembered 2020 for a long time, won't it? Even if we're not reminded every day into 21, which we probably will be. But let's be thankful. The church is still open. We're still meeting. We're still worshiping God. And we can be thankful for that. Amen. And I asked you a while ago to be thinking about something that you're thankful for, because this is our Thanksgiving service. So I know one, he left, but he was thankful for a deer. So what are you thankful for today? To be breathing normally?
I'm just thankful for the Lord.
Amen. Amen. A lot of times we leave him out. Even in our services, sometimes we don't expound on him enough and his importance. You know, we tend to come to church, but for some reason or another, we leave our heart at home. Anybody guilty of that? Do you come in the right frame of mind of worshiping God the Father when you come into his building? Into his sanctuary, into his presence.
I'm thankful that God is in control. And he doesn't leave it to us, because we make a bigger mess.
Oh, yeah. Amen. You know, we have proof of that all through God's word, that how big a mess we can make, because we just repeat what's in the Bible, don't we? About the children of Israel and how they... messed up, if you want to call it that, strayed from God. Anyone else?
Mike, I'm thankful for God's presence. To my knowledge, my family, church family, none of us have been brought down.
Amen. Amen. You know, we've really been blessed in this area, haven't we? I know there's a lot have been quarantined from having tested positive, but we haven't had a whole lot of sickness from it that I know of. So we're thankful for that. Someone else.
I'm just thankful for the church and the church family and your faithfulness. Look out there. Everybody's pretty much sits in the same pew on Sunday and they're out there.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, the way we got it set up now, if you're out, we know it. Not that we didn't anyway, but looking at a few scriptures, Philippians chapter 4 mainly, and Adam's got them, he'll put them up on the screen. I'm going to use some of Brother David's notes. It's Philippians 4:4-8. We'll read those and we'll go from there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So it's, as that last verse says, meditate. It's not just a passing thought that we might have of thinking on these good things. It's to meditate on them. It's to remember that we are a child of God. And this kind of goes along a little bit with our lesson this morning in Sunday school. But have you ever tried to rejoice always? I think Peter says that in his book. It's just two simple words in one verse. Rejoice always. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Especially in today's society and in our country. This country is probably about as much, if not more, divided today than it's ever been. And that's sad. You know, we were founded on God's word, but yet God's word's been taken out of just about everything but the church. And they're working on that. But he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What about worry? In verse 6 there it says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about it. You know, I heard someone say one time, worrying today about tomorrow takes the blessings of today away, because we're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, or what's going to happen if I do this now, what's going to happen next, you know. Worry, we know that's a sin in God's eyes. And Matthew 6:34, I never even noticed if you got them up there. Yeah, you got them. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do you ever look at it that way? The evil thereof. We have enough of it in 24-hour period. Why borrow from tomorrow and add it on to today's, you know? Are you thankful? Think about that. What does it mean to be thankful? Well, God says, don't worry. Pray about everything. In 1 Peter 5:7, my wife should have this verse memorized because it's on the wall at our house. Casting all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And those cares are worries. Cast all your worries upon the Lord. I know all of us are pretty much alike. We tend to try it our way first. We try to fix it. We try to overcome it and put the Lord next when we fail. And that's not right, is it? Not in God's eyes, it's not right. It's not what God expects of us. He expects us to lean on Him. There's a song, I think, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. You know, that's what God wants us to do, because His arms never fail. His love never fails. He cares for those who love Him and are one of His. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, also talking about verse 6 here in Philippians, thank God in all circumstances. And I did notice one thing when I was looking over Brother David's notes. And it said, not thankful for this. Not thankful for this. I thought, now wait a minute. Where's he going with this? Not always. We cannot be thankful for evil. I mean, who's thankful for evil? You know, that's a tool of Satan. He is evil, and he is the one that causes us heartache, causes us pain, causes the worries that we tend to hang on to, doesn't he? But in all circumstances is what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything we're to be thankful for, except evil. And sometimes it takes that evil to wake us up, so we need to be thankful for that, don't we? Not the evil itself, but that God allowed us to go through it. He had a purpose. He's got a plan. So we need to remember that when we sometimes want to give up and go our own way. You know, that back in Bible days, all the problems that they had, all of the circumstances they faced, all of the trials and tribulations and torture and, you know, they went through. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias a little bit this morning, and he was talking about it's coming back. It's coming back. We are going to face that if God tarries and Jesus doesn't return pretty soon. So are you ready? Are you ready to face the tribulations? Not the tribulation, because we know that we who are born again will escape that. God will have called us home, taken us out, and we get to watch it from above. But there's still tribulation in our lifetime, isn't it? Still trials, still troubles. You know, we were talking about in Sunday school about being kind to others and being forgiving and not taking vengeance when someone has hurt you. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to forget when somebody hurts you that you're not supposed to retaliate. You're not supposed to get vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And you know, I'd a whole lot rather he take care of it myself. I mean, I try not to do that. I'm not saying I don't. But I'd rather he take care of it, because he can handle it a lot better than I can. And his vengeance is a lot more severe than mine would be. But we sometimes forget that we can be thankful that we're one of God's own. Sometimes we step out of bounds, don't we? Sometimes we let our emotions and our feelings drag us outside of the rules that God has given us to follow. You know, it's hard not to retaliate when somebody attacks us in some way or another. You know, I know everybody's tired of the news. I turn it off. I take it to be so offensive that I get mad at it. You know, it offends me of what men and women that we have in our government in high positions think about God. You know, I just don't understand it, you know. But I do know God's a loving God. If he wasn't, I know he would have done took care of them. It would have been all over for them. But God is in control. He has a plan. And his plan will go as planned. It won't turn. He won't turn in no way, form, or fashion. You know, and I worry about those who, I shouldn't say worry, I am concerned about those who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't think they have any idea of what's going to happen to them. When Jesus returns and they're left behind, you just can't explain it. I mean, it's God's wrath is poured out upon this world. And well deserving. Well deserving. How do we defend ourselves with that, though? What does God tell us? And in verse 8, kind of sums that up, what to think about in Philippians. Whatever things are true, that's God's word. In our world today, and it always has been the truth, but in our world today, more so than ever, we have to look at God's word, because very few people tell the truth. Very few people. In Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And there's more to that. "Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Of course, that's referring to the king's offering you his pastries and stuff. I think a few verses prior to that, it's talking about take a knife to your throat, cut your throat before you partake of the king's pastries. You know, it's more or less a bribe that he's trying to bribe you into believing the way he believes. And, you know, it looks like that's where we're at today, isn't it? I mean, you know, I think that they will recommend, well, they won't recommend, they will make all of us take the vaccination. When they come up with it, they say they've got it. But I think we're headed that direction as to where the government's going to make us take the vaccine to prevent coronavirus. And they haven't had a long enough study, in my opinion, to know what the side effects of that's going to be. It takes a while, you know, but that's where our government's headed, it looks like. But if we set our mind on the good things, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue in it, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We have to constantly meditate on these things. What do you think is going to happen if we don't? What do you think is going to happen if we don't follow God's instructions and do as He says? What's going to happen? In Ezekiel 10:18, it's talking about the nation of Israel, the Jews. It says, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple." They disobeyed and disobeyed and disobeyed and went their own way, and God departed from them. You know, I hope and pray that we're not near that end in our church or in any church today, that God would depart from our presence. This is our safe haven, coming to God with our brothers and sisters in Christ and our friends, where we should feel safe and we should experience a working of the Holy Spirit. That's why we come. We come to worship God and to hear from Him. And I hope we continue to do that. With all the pressures of the outside world, it's going to get harder. But we have won the victory. God has defeated death and all the evil there is in the world. We just have to walk beside Him and follow Him. Amen? Let's stand as we sing a hymn of invitation. I know that was short, but hopefully God used it.